So a very mysterious thing happens when he builds this Gandakuti, this sandalwood fragrant chamber for the Buddha. This is from the Pali commentaries. As soon as the construction started, it said that the guards see a mysterious light coming from the Gandakuti at night. So it's as if it's saying, well, the Gandakuti will evoke the Buddha. Once the Gandakuti is there, the Buddha will arrive. As Zhong Strong comments, he says, the Buddha goes where the flowers are. If you bring the flowers, the Buddha will arrive. But also the offerings created their own Gandakuti. So as Purana throws the offerings onto the wind, they make a flowery pavilion. And this flowery pavilion blows towards Shravasti, blows to the Gandakuti in the Jetta Grove in Shravasti, and invites the Buddha to Shrona Parantika. So at this point, the Buddha puts his foot down on the ground, and the earth shook. And he sent forth rays of brilliant golden light so that the whole of India was illuminated. And he magically travelled to Shrona Parantika with 500 arahants. So there's some other stories about who he meets on the way. He wasn't idly staring out the window. He was converting people on the way. But eventually he arrives to Shrona Parantika. And he enters the Sandalwood Palace and takes up his seat. Now, a bit like the Vimalakirti Nadesha Sutra, a problem arises. Because many hundreds of thousands of people come to see the Buddha in the Sandalwood Palace. And the Sandalwood Palace isn't big enough. And they can't see the Buddha. The Buddha has magically appeared in the centre, we're told, of the Sandalwood Palace, and people can't see him. So they get a bit desperate, and they start to rip apart the Gandakuti. And the Buddha thinks, well, this won't do, this won't do. They're all ripping apart the Gandakuti to catch the sight of me. Why don't I turn the Gandakuti into a palace of crystal? So he transforms the palace into a palace of crystal so that everyone could see him. And then through knowing their inclinations, he delivered a discourse so that hundreds of thousands of people attained the roots of virtue or attained the roots of insight. All were affected and became favourably inclined towards the Buddha, intent on the Dharma and well disposed towards the Sangha. So the people of the city like us can't see the Buddha. And maybe we can't see the Buddha because his presence is obscured by the limitations of our own mind. And so the Buddha transforms the palace into a palace of crystal. And crystal is quite an interesting sort of visual image because it suggests a transformation of consciousness from blindness into sight, from darkness into clarity. That in a way, we've transformed something that was beautiful and perfumed, made out of offerings, gets transformed perhaps into wisdom itself, into the clarity of crystal that sees beyond space and time. And crystal is very hard as well. It's eternal. It's unbreakable. It cannot corrode. It cannot be broken apart. There's a kind of sense of the Vajra about it. Unbreakable, unstoppable, clear, shining. And in a way, I was thinking about this. Well, what the Buddha's doing is he's revealing himself not as the historical Buddha, but the Buddha that is not confined by space or time. The Buddha who's always present, not because he's suddenly come alive again, but because he's transcendent, because he's beyond space and time. The Buddha is revealing himself as the Buddha of the imagination, who's always there, who can always be seen, who'll never ever die. And in this way, I think the story of Purna moves from the Shravakayana vision of the Buddha as a historical being to the kind of Mahayana Buddha of the imagination. So this is the message of the Avadanas, I think. Well, the first thing is that we have to go to the dangerous places and we have to meet those dangerous places, the places that are without a Buddha, with humour and disarm with Maitri. But even then, we go to these places, even then, even with all the wisdom, even with all the insight that we can develop, we long for the Buddha and the Buddha is no longer there. And so to see the Buddha, you have to make a pilgrimage to the past, make a pilgrimage to the past to glimpse his presence, make a pilgrimage through devotion and through longing. And then you have to come back to the present to feel his absence. And if you can hold both those things, the presence of the Buddha in the past and the absence of the Buddha in the present, then I think this in itself is a practice of insight. And it creates a consciousness, a raising of the level of consciousness to a kind of wisdom that can transcend space and time and see the Buddha in his crystal Gandakuti, to see the Buddha in what the Mahayana would later term as the eternal Buddha, who's always preaching the Dharma and who never leaves.